it's already after the 40 years are up, and Hashem tells Moshe to make a new count of the Jewish people, together with Elazar, the successor of Aharon, as the great priest, the Kohen Gadol. When it's going through everybody, so a few people of not honorable mention come up over here. Amongst that list, it says, Ubnei Aliyah b'nibul v'dosan v'aviram, hudosan v'aviram kirei ha'eda sherhitzu al Moshe v'al ha'aroin, ba'adas karech ba'atzisam al Hashem. So Dasan and Aviram are mentioned over here that they're not amongst this count because they're not around anymore. Because what happened with them is that they were lost, destroyed, met their demise in the gathering of Korach when they started up the rebellion against Moshe and Aharon, which effectively was a rebellion against God. And the next pasuk says, Vatiftach la'aretz es piyo. The earth opened up its mouth, and the earth opened up, swallowed up Korach, swallowed up them and Korach, when the whole group that was together with Korach died. When the fire consumed the 250 people that had come together with Korach, and they became like a banner, like a signpost for the Jewish people, you know, you don't start up with Moshe, you don't start up with Aaron, because that's effectively starting up with Hashem. Because Hashem is the one who put them in the position that they're in. So now, there's an interesting question over here. I mean, I think it's a good question. Which is, that the pasuk says, Dasan Aviram, they're the ones that started up this fight against Moshe and Aharon in the gathering of Korach. You know, when we learned Parshas Korach, it sounded much more as though Korach was the main force behind that rebellion. You know, it starts off by saying, Vayikach Korach. Korach was the one who took up this whole position. Ben Yitzhar, Ben Koz, Ben Levi, Vidasan Vaviram. And then it mentions Dasan and Aviram. So who were the main players in this rebellion? Was it Korach, as would seem to be the clear implication in the Parsha of Korach, or was it Dasan and Aviram, which is what it would seem to be in our Parsha? I'd like to suggest the following approach. It's my own thought, so you could take it or leave it. But I don't think it's off. I don't think it's necessarily incorrect. And that is, Korach, we know from the commentators, from the sages, was really a great person. He was actually a tremendous tzaddik. He was a very, very great Torah scholar, very learned, very pious. And not only that, but his sons, who wound up saving themselves at the last minute because they repented, they wound up having progeny eventually that was exceedingly great. So Korach was a really big person. Dasan Aviram, we know about them all the way back from when Moshe had to escape from Paro in Mitzrayim. He saw the Egyptian beating mercilessly the Jew, and he made quick work of him. The sand covered him up, he covered up with the sand. And then the next day he saw these two Jews fighting, and he says, "Wicked one, why are you about to strike your friend?" And then they come up against him and they say, "Who do you think you are? You think that you're a chieftain? You think that you're the general? You think that you're the captain? You think you're in charge of us? You think we have to listen to you? What, are you going to kill us just like you killed that Egyptian?" And then Moshe understood that they really had it out for him. And they were the ones who actually told Paro about what Moshe had done. And they got Moshe into a slew of trouble. And they were the ones, when Moshe eventually came back at Hashem's behest to redeem the Jewish people, that were screaming at him and saying, "It's all your fault that Paro is making it worse." And they were the ones who were collecting mun when they weren't supposed to be collecting it, and keeping the mun when they weren't supposed to be keeping it. In a nutshell, these guys were serious troublemakers through and through, from the beginning till the end. So it's an interesting dichotomy to begin with. You know, how did these people become bedfellows? You know, on the one hand, you've got Korach, who represents the highest echelons of aristocracy within the Jewish people, both in terms of the family that he hailed from, and in terms of his own personal stature. And then you've got these creeps, these lowlifes, you know, again, relatively speaking to the Jewish people. You've got these guys that are, you know, gangsters almost. What happened over here? What I would like to suggest is that, yes, the power and the force behind the rebellion of Korach, and the reason why it was such a terrible debacle in the history of the Jewish people, was the singular personality of Korach. Korach was such a great person. He had so much talent. He had so much prestige. He had so much going for him that because of the power and the energy and the standing that he brought to bear, that is what made the rebellion what it was. And he was the one who spearheaded it. But who got him into it in the first place? Who were the rabble-rousers who schlepped him in, who pulled him into this schmutz? I would like to suggest that what we see from the Psukim in our Parsha this week is that it was Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram were the ones who poisoned Korach's mind. Again, this is my own novel suggestion. I didn't see this anywhere. You could take it or leave it. I would like to suggest that Dasan and Aviram were the ones who poisoned Korach's mind. Perhaps we can find a hint at this in Rashi. Rashi says they were neighbors. In the encampments, they were right close to each other. I would like to suggest that Dasan and Aviram were rabble-rousers who poisoned Korach's mind. They were the ones who got him all angry over the fact that he didn't get the appointment that his cousin got, and therefore ultimately got him started up against Moshe and Aaron, and they were the ones who pulled him into it. And what we see from here, assuming that I'm correct, and I don't think that it's a wrong explanation, you know, it might not be the explanation, but assuming that this pshat, that this exposition is correct, we see a very important thing from here. And what you see from here is that even if a person is very great, he's a tzaddik, he's scholarly, he's got stature, he's got familial standing, he's got power, he's got money, he's got everything going for him. Everything. There's nothing that he's missing. Korach was, you know, in terms of the rest of the Jewish people, was on top of the world. Okay, he wasn't at the very pinnacle of the pyramid, and somehow he got to a point where his jealousy over that fact just consumed him to the point that he met his ultimate demise, but he had everything going for him. So how did that all get spoiled? Because the little people, people that are in big positions, have to be very careful with whom they associate. Because sometimes it's the quote-unquote little people that a person associates with, that if he's not careful, those people, because of their small-mindedness, if they've got bad midos, and their small-mindedness brings them to being angry and cynical and spiteful and cantankerous, those midos, you know, sometimes people like that don't wind up causing much damage in the world. But sometimes, oh boy, if that parasitic force finds a powerful host to lock onto, goodness gracious, the danger and the damage that can be wrought is just, it's shuddering to think about it. And that's why big people, people that are tzaddikim, people that have stature, people that have money, people that have power, they have to be very careful to not let themselves get negatively poisoned by small-minded people with bad midos that might be around them. Because bad midos is like an infectious disease of the highest order. It is exceedingly, exceedingly difficult to protect yourself from such a disease. So, this is an important thing to keep in mind. In general, the Rambam tells us that a person's friends, you have to make sure that your friends are a good influence and not, God forbid, a bad influence. And in particular, I'd like to suggest, based on the inference in this week's parsha, big people, the people of very high stature, wealth, power, righteousness, etc., they in particular need to be very careful with whom they associate to not allow themselves, chas v'shalom, to become poisoned by people that have small-minded, bad midos, and instead make sure that the people that are together with them or that are under them are people that will influence them for the good, or that they will be able to influence for the good. And that way, their energy and power will only be used for positive and constructive purposes. Have a wonderful Shabbos.